Ooh, I kind of hate to stop listening to the birds sing, but it is 11 a.m. and you are tuned to KBOO Portland. Coming right up is Health Watch with host Dr. David Naiman. And then at 11:30 today, we remember Oregon writer Catherine Dunn with excerpts from programs in the KBOO archives, Between the Covers and Gremlin Time. Thank you, KBOO members, for your support in our spring membership drive. You made it a success. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, From Our Hands to Yours, celebrating 43 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com.
The purpose of this program is not to prescribe a treatment to individuals. Listeners should consult their healthcare practitioner before attempting any treatment.
Good morning and welcome to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host. Today's guest, Dr. Michael Mosley, is a New York Times bestselling author, physician, and science journalist. His books include the bestseller The Fast Diet, co-written with Mimi Spencer and translated into 32 languages, and Fast Exercise, co-authored with Peter B. Dr. Mosley trained to be a doctor at the Royal Free Hospital in London before joining the BBC, where he has been a journalist, executive producer, and most recently, a well-known television personality. He has numerous television awards, including a Royal Television Award, and was named Medical Journalist of the Year by the British Medical Association. And we're lucky to have him here today on Health Watch to talk about his latest book, The 8-Week Blood Sugar Diet, How to Beat Diabetes Fast and Stay Off Medication. Welcome to Health Watch, Dr. Michael Mosley.
Hi there. Pleasure to be there with you.
So you start...
It's a sunny afternoon here in London.
So you start out your book with a personal story with how you were prompted to write it because you yourself were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes and were surprised by the diagnosis. Tell us a little bit about that surprise and how that ended up in creating the 8-week blood sugar diet.
Yes, so this was actually 4 years ago, almost exactly. And I went to see my doctor because I had a sort of skin mark, which I thought might be a cancer or something bad. So I asked her to have a look at it, and she said, actually, it's fine, but let's do a blood test while you're here. Just kind of, you know, check out your cholesterol and blood sugar levels, things like that. And then she rang me later to say, I am really sorry, your blood sugar levels are very high. I suspect you may be a type 2 diabetic, but we need to do some more tests. So did some more tests. And she said, yes, I'm afraid you are a type 2 diabetic and we should start you on medication. And it was a nasty shock because I wasn't particularly overweight. I'm 5'11" and I was about 190 pounds, so a little bit. But I had a family history. My dad developed diabetes in his early 50s and died of complications of diabetes at the age of 72. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't interested in just starting on medication because the trouble is, you know, when I looked at it, I realized that people who start on medication frequently, I mean, almost inevitably, they stay on medication. And quite often they have to have the medication increased. They progress. They move on to insulin. And one of the problems is that a lot of the medications you take will actually make you hungrier, which means that you will put on more weight and you'll make your condition worse. So I started to explore other possibilities, and one of the clear things was that if you lost weight and you increased your exercise, then it would be possible, or it looked possible, to reverse type 2 diabetes, and that's kind of what I did. And I lost about 20 pounds over 8 weeks doing something which I called intermittent fasting, also known as the kind of 5-2 diet, where you cut your calories 2 days a week and eat normally 5 days. And this is based on research done at the National Institutes on Aging, which has shown that this pattern of intermittent fasting cuts your risk of diabetes, but other things as well. And then I wrote this book called The Fast Diet, which became a New York Times bestseller and kind of popularized intermittent fasting in the UK, in the US, Australia, and places like that. But I was very curious as to kind of exactly what was going on. And there is a doctor in the UK who works in somewhere called Newcastle University. And for about 4 or 5 years now, he has been putting people on very low-calorie diets where they eat around 800 calories a day, and he's been doing that, and they stay on that for 8 weeks. And he found that he could reverse type 2 diabetes in nearly 90% of patients doing that.
You know, his research was really interesting, that losing 10 to 15% of body weight, nearly 90% of newly diagnosed people could get their diabetes reversed. And then a significant number of people, I think about half of the people who were long-term diabetics had it reversed as well.
Absolutely. And this was obviously very surprising because most people and most doctors will tell you that type 2 diabetes is an irreversible condition. The statistics are even better if you have pre-diabetes, which means, you know, your blood glucose levels are raised but not yet in the diabetic range. And the good thing about this work is he's one of Europe's foremost diabetes experts, and he also has access to a very good team, and they are also able, they have, you know, very sophisticated technology, MRI machines, which can kind of look inside you. So they could measure what was going on inside people as their diabetes reversed. And so it's really, my book is based on his research and he's written the foreword to it. But what I've done essentially is take his work and kind of, if you like, popularize it.
Well, can you talk to us about the 5-2 diet in the sense that his work is mostly calorie restriction on every day, and you instead are using an intermittent fasting approach? Tell us the difference and tell us how you modeled this on a 5-2 plan.
Sure. So his name is Professor Roy Taylor, and he's based in Newcastle. And what he's been doing is putting people on an 800-calorie-a-day diet, 600 to 800 calories, in fact, which is low but not super low. And they stick to that for 8 weeks. And in the clinical studies, what they found is that on average, they lost about 33 pounds. And as you said, in around 90% of recently diagnosed type 2 diabetics, they're able to reverse their condition and keep off all medication. And if you had been diabetic for more than 6 or 7 years, it was about 50%, but everyone was able to reduce their medication. Now, I see that as a very sort of viable plan, but for some people will perhaps find that hard to do, or maybe they'll want to do it for a shorter period of time. And then switch to something which is, frankly, a little bit less, you know, challenging. And so I came up with the 5-2 plan, where essentially what you do is 2 days a week, you cut your calories down to 800 calories around that sort of margin, 600 to 700 calories, really. And on the other 5 days, you eat sensibly, which is broadly a Mediterranean-style diet. And although the weight loss is slower, what we've seen is similar improvements in blood glucose levels. In both cases, you need to lose around 10 to 12% of your body weight. So if you're 200 pounds to start with, you'd need to lose about 20 pounds. It's mainly what you're trying to do is drain the fat out of your liver and out of your pancreas, because that's what's stopping the pancreas producing adequate amounts of insulin. And that's really what precipitates type 2 diabetes. And if you've been diabetic for quite a long time, then the pancreas is damaged and it's less likely to reverse. So you kind of want to do it sooner rather than later. So it's about calorie restriction, however you sort of approach it. But what is surprising is that people think, oh, you know, I'm going to get starving hungry, or isn't that a crash diet, isn't that terrible? But actually, there's a lot of evidence now that both of these patterns, where you dramatically cut your calories for 2 days a week or indeed 7 days a week, both of them are associated with improved health benefits. And the thing that surprised me and that surprised other people is most people, after a few days, they just get used to it. Their stomach shrinks. They don't feel hungry. they just find they can kind of just continue on.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking today to Dr. Michael Mosley about his latest book, The 8-Week Blood Sugar Diet, How to Beat Diabetes Fast and Stay Off Medication. It's true that intermittent fasting is a hot topic in science. You mentioned that obviously it's showing a lot of research for diabetes, but it's also, at least in animals, has been shown to have promise potentially around longevity and dementia prevention. Can you talk about some of the things that you know about intermittent
fasting? Absolutely. So I actually made a film for PBS, which was called Eat Fast, Live Longer, which was entirely about this. And if your listeners are interested, you can find it on YouTube or something like that. But essentially, there's been 60 years of research into intermittent fasting, by which I mean cutting your calories for 2, maybe 3 days a week, and you cut them down to about a quarter of the normal level. So that's about 600 or 700 calories a day, but you're only doing it 2 days a week. Now, in animals, what they found is that cuts the animal's risk of developing diabetes, dementia, heart disease, and also a variety of cancers. Now, we also have preliminary evidence that this is true in humans. You will lose weight, but you'll get these other benefits as well. And it seems to be that it's during those periods when you're not eating that your body gets on with the essential repairs, repairing DNA, getting rid of old junky cells. Now, one of the people who is the sort of king of this research is a guy called Dr. Mark Mattson, who is one of the world's foremost neuroscientists, and he's based at the National Institute on Aging in the U.S. And what he has shown in mice is that he's genetically engineered these mice so that they develop dementia at an earlier age. And normally they will develop dementia at about the age of 1, which is the equivalent of 40 or 50 in a human. When he puts them on an intermittent fasting diet, a 5-2 diet, which is what I call it, so the mice basically cut their calories 2 days a week, he found that they developed dementia at around 2 years, which is equivalent to 90. And when he put them on a junk food diet, a fast, then they developed at about 9 months. And what he also found is the reason this was happening is when you cut your calories for 2 days a week, your body responds by producing a whole range of proteins and hormones which seem to protect the brain in a very powerful way. And he started doing trials at the moment, which have been running now for 2 years, where he puts people who are at risk of dementia on this 5-2 intermittent fasting diet. And he has shown that they start to produce much higher levels of this neuroprotective protein. They are less likely to show signs of memory loss than his control group who are not on this diet. So they're eating a few less calories, but really what they're doing is they're changing the pattern in which they're eating. And we've seen there's research out of Sweden which has shown a similar benefit for type 2 diabetics. Type 2 diabetics put on this intermittent fasting pattern. They are able to reverse their diabetes. They lose weight. And they also see big improvements in their production of insulin. There is 60 years of animal research, and there is now mounting evidence in humans of the benefits of just kind of changing the pattern in which you eat. And I think that's incredibly exciting.
You mentioned the 5 days where you eat sensibly and you eat something close to what you call the Mediterranean diet. But you've also talked about how most people don't really know what the Mediterranean diet really means in terms of how it's been studied and how it was traditionally, which is different than how it is now. So can you talk a little bit more in detail about what the 5 days of non-fasting would look like and what a true Mediterranean diet looks like?
Unfortunately, people think of the Mediterranean diet as being sort of pizza and pasta and things like that, but that's really not what the sort of classical Mediterranean diet is eaten by the Greeks and the Spaniards is like. The reason that people have got really interested in it is because we know that people from Mediterranean tend to have much lower risks of heart disease and dementia and things like that, and so people were very interested. And in Spain, they did this enormous study where they got 7,000 people, and they randomly allocated them to either going on a low-fat diet or going on what they call Mediterranean diet. So in both groups, they were encouraged to eat lots of fruit and vegetables generally healthy stuff like that. But the big difference was the people on the low-fat diet, they were encouraged to eat lots of, you know, pasta and rice and the things that we normally associate with a low-fat diet. They were told to avoid oily fish, to eat low, you know, fat meat, and to, you know, keep their oil to a minimum. Now, the people who were on the Mediterranean diet, on the other hand, they were encouraged to eat lots of olive oil, oily fish. They could eat fatty lamb and things like that. They were also encouraged to drink a kind of glass or so of red wine in the evening and eat dark chocolate. So they were quite a different pattern. The Mediterranean diet was a much higher fat, but generally sort of good fats, if you like, things like avocado, fish, and, as I said, olive oil. And they ran this trial for 6 or 7 years. It's still running now. And what they found is dramatic differences between the two groups. So the group who had been allocated to the Mediterranean diet, they were 40% less likely to have a heart attack. The women were 70% less likely to have breast cancer. They also measured all sorts of things about their brains. The people on the Mediterranean diet were much less likely to have developed problems with their memory. This was quite a sort of, you know, these were people in their 50s and 60s when the trial began. In fact, by pretty well every measure you could possibly assess, they were so much healthier than those on the low-fat diet. And this is the biggest, most comprehensive, randomized trial ever done on diet. So it is very, very convincing, if you like, as a piece of evidence. So in my book, I describe exactly what a Mediterranean diet looks like and how you can make your diet more Mediterranean, if you like, without making, you know, huge sacrifices. Because the thing about a Mediterranean diet, it's actually very tasty. And it just needs a bit of sort of tweaking. It is different from the average American diet, but it's not a low-fat diet. It's a relatively low-carb diet, but not a kind of, you know, an Atkins low-carbs. It's like 40% carbs, and it's incredibly tasty. It takes a little while to kind of, you know, if you're not into cooking with olive oil and things like that, then you have to kind of get yourself comfortable with the idea you're going to be consuming quite a lot of olive oil, a lot of lemons, a lot of things like that. But it's a really, really tasty diet. And in the book, I've got one of Britain's foremost nutritionists, and she's created all the menus at the back. And the people who've done the diet say it's really, really tasty. And as I said, average weight loss, if you're doing the 800-calorie version, is around 30 pounds in 8 weeks. So, and that is very motivating. And you also see your blood sugar levels begin to fall very rapidly. I would recommend that you talk to your doctor before you start, because one of the things that will happen as well is your blood pressure will come down very fast. So you will probably have to come off an awful lot of your medication fairly quickly. Otherwise, you know, there's a danger that you're going to be over-medicated. But certainly, in my experience, people's blood pressure comes down fast and their cholesterol level comes down fast and their blood sugars levels start to fall within about 3 or 4 days. So if you are on any form of medication, then you want to kind of be monitoring it because the danger is that this thing is going to happen so rapidly to you that the drugs are not helpful. So do talk to your doctor about it. In the book, I also have a link to a website where there is a printable advice. And indeed, I have a website called thebloodsugardiet.com where you can get advice which you can kind of hand to your doctor, because a lot of doctors are not familiar yet with this research. It's relatively new. It's thoroughly accepted here in the UK, but I suspect in the US it's still not something that many doctors are familiar with at the moment.
Well, one of the things, let's talk a little bit about some of the myths around losing weight, because one of the things that you really encourage is rapid weight loss, which goes, at least in the United States, counter to the common wisdom around the best way to have sustainable weight loss. So can you talk a little bit about the science behind the best way to lose weight?
Because that surprised me when I first came across it, and I actually came across it in a paper written in the New England Journal of Medicine, which, you, as you know, is probably the most prestigious, most respected medical journal in the world. Researchers fight to get into that journal. And there was a paper there which was put together by America's foremost weight loss specialists. And it was called Facts, Myths, and Presumptions About Obesity. And myth number one was that slow weight loss is better than rapid weight loss. And they said, if you look at all the trials done over the last 20 years, if you actually want to lose weight and keep it off, then rapid weight loss is more effective. That's what the that's what the trials show. There's been a recent big trial in Australia which showed exactly that. And there's a big trial being done at the moment in Oxford University in the UK, which is showing pretty much exactly the same thing. And what they said is the idea of slow and steady weight loss as being the thing to do was based on some very unfortunately diets which were done in the 70s in the US, which were eating like 200 calories a day. And unfortunately, they weren't getting adequate amount of protein. It was both too low, and it was also very poorly done. As you know, you need adequate amount of protein because protein is the one nutrient your body does not store. And your body doesn't really use protein, and your body doesn't really use protein as an energy source. It uses much more energy to build your cells, to build your immune system, to do all sorts of other things that are absolutely essential for new cells. So if you're not getting enough good quality protein in your diet, good, then what will happen is your body will scavenge it all the places it will take out of your muscle and take it out of your muscle. That's a really bad thing. You'll lose muscle. The number one thing you need to do on any diet is make sure you're getting adequate amounts of protein. That's about 50 grams of protein a day. And that will also keep you fuller. So there are lots of crash diets out there which are really bad. They're really, the nutrient content is not adequate. They are too low. They are too fast. Some of those juicing diets, unless you're eating, again, adequate protein with it, I would strongly recommend you don't do them, because if you're just living on juice, you're not getting much protein, and that's a thoroughly bad idea. So, as I said, a lot of the myths around it being slow weight loss being better, the reason, the fear is because there are an awful lot of bad diets out there. But if you do it properly and you have a balanced, albeit relatively low-calorie diet, then the evidence is strong that people who go on it will obviously lose weight faster. They're more likely to achieve their goals. And as I said, strangely enough, they are no more likely to then put on weight than people who lose it gradually. In fact, they are less likely to put on weight afterwards. The experts I spoke to said, look, the weight loss you lose in the first month or so predicts success at 3 months, 6 months, a year, 5 years, 10 years. That's kind of what we know because it's very motivating. But I also have a big section in the book on how do you maintain the weight loss afterwards. And that's based on conversations I've had with literally hundreds of weight loss experts around the world, because there is a huge gap between what the real weight loss people know, what doctors know, and what is commonly believed. And that's kind of what this book is trying to do. It's trying to bridge that gap.
And can you talk a little bit about the myth around breakfast as well? We always hear that breakfast is both vital to eat for weight loss, but also that it's the most important meal of the day. So can you tell us a little bit about
that? Absolutely. Now, that is based generally on surveys where what they do is they look at people who are slim and people who are overweight, and commonly they find that people who are overweight tend to be more likely to be breakfast skippers. They're less likely to eat breakfast. And so if you look at that on the face of it, that seems quite compelling evidence. People who are slim, they're more likely to eat breakfast, and therefore it seems like a good idea. Now, personally, I love breakfast. and I would be bereft if I didn't have a decent breakfast in the morning. But there are other people, you know, breakfast just simply means breaking your fast. And that doesn't have to happen at 8 in the morning. It could happen at 10 in the morning. It could happen at midday. And in the paper I cited in the New England Journal of Medicine, myth number two was that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and you really have to have it and it will, you know, help you lose weight. And again, what they did is they looked at a lot of studies where what they do is they get people who are breakfast eaters, breakfast skippers, and they switch habits. So the people who were eating breakfast were asked to skip it, and the people who were skipping breakfast were asked to eat it, and they followed them for, you know, 3 or 4 months. And what they found was both groups lost some weight, that actually it was the change in habit that seemed to be important. It was not at all. So if you were normally a breakfast eater and you decided to skip breakfast, then you lost a bit of weight, but vice versa as well. That making people who normally skip breakfast eat breakfast isn't necessarily any better. We all have our individual preferences. I mean, clearly, if you skip breakfast and then gorge on chocolate or a muffin at 11 in the morning, then that's a thoroughly bad idea. But if you just simply are not hungry and then at 11 in the morning you have a kind of decent breakfast of something sort of protein-rich like eggs or something like that, then that will keep you full until later in the day. So it's not the skipping breakfast or having your breakfast at 8 o'clock, which is the important thing. The important thing is what you eat and when you eat it. And indeed, there's quite good evidence that the advantage of having a later breakfast, if you like, is that you have a longer period without food, and that's actually a good thing. But another of the myths is that, you know, you should eat lots of small meals. But actually, again, when they look at the science of it, they discovered that people who ate exactly the same amount of calories, but either as 2 meals a day or as 5 meals a day, the people who were eating it as 2 meals a day, they lost far more weight. They saw much bigger improvements in their cholesterol levels, their blood sugar levels, and they also reported feeling fuller and better on it. So again, this idea that you should eat lots of small meals is a total myth. It just seems to encourage weight gain because it does not kind of fill you up. If anything, it actually encourages you to eat more.
Well, I wish we had a lot more time, Dr. Mosley, but maybe to end the program, you had mentioned that a lot of the book is dedicated to once you've lost weight, also how to maintain that weight loss. What could you maybe name one or two brief things that that people can do to maintain the weight loss that are different than the initial weight loss program?
Sure. So I lost, as I said, 20 pounds 4 years ago, and I'm the same weight that I was then. So one of the things is you need to, you know, weigh yourself and particularly measure your gut frequently. Again, the myth is that you shouldn't do it often. Actually, the research is very clear. You need to do it often, probably 2 or 3 times a week. And as soon as you start to creep up, you need to do something about it. I'm afraid you do need to increase your activity. The exercise is not a great way of losing weight, but it's a fantastic way of keeping the weight off. So, you know, if you invested in a pedometer, one of the things that people report as well is once they've lost the weight, they're much more inclined to do exercise, to get out there, to get on their bike, to go for a walk, to take the stairs. Have a few simple rules. One of my rules is I always take the stairs. You know, even if it's 5, 6 flights of stairs, I always take the stairs. And that's kind of a simple rule for myself. And it's a sort of absolute rule.
Dr. Mosley, unfortunately, I have to jump in because we're out of time. But do you have a website you can point our listeners to?
Absolutely. It's called thebloodsugardiet.com. And the book is called The 8-Week Blood Sugar Diet.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on Health Watch today.
Thank you. Bye.
We're talking today to Dr. Michael Mosley, the author of The 8-Week Blood Sugar Diet, How to Beat Diabetes Fast and Stay Off Medication. You've been listening to Health Watch. I'm Dr. David Naiman, your host.
are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, As Time Goes By in Shanghai, showing Thursday, May 19th at 7 p.m. As Time Goes By in Shanghai tells the story of Shanghai's Peace Old Jazz Band, performing together since 1980. Aged between 65 and 87 years, many of them have been playing jazz since the 1940s and have seen the world transform. From the Japanese occupation and the Cultural Revolution to capitalism on overdrive, the band members have seen the many faces of China and withstood government's suspicion of jazz. Again, that's As Time Goes By in Shanghai, Thursday, May 19th.